Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. The loss of population in St. Louis in recent decades has apparently been slowed dramatically. But what would happen to the city and its neighborhoods if there were suddenly a dramatic increase in population, say 500,000? That's the subject of an interesting thought experiment, and we'll be talking about that in a couple of moments. But first, what do Franklin Delano Roosevelt and Lou Grant have in common? Grant, of course, is the character made famous on the Mary Tyler Moore television show and subsequent spinoff. Roosevelt is, in the minds of many, one of our greatest presidents. What they have in common is Ed Asner, the actor who played Grant and is playing Roosevelt in his solo show FDR, which is coming to St. Louis later this month. I'll have details on that later, but we're happy to have the 7-time Emmy Award-winning actor and Kansas City native, by the way, join us by phone to talk about FDR, Lou Grant, and some other things of interest. Ed Asner, welcome.
Thank you.
So nice to have you up.
Lush welcome that was.
Well, we try to make them as lush as possible. I guess in a sense this is a homecoming for you, being a Missouri native.
Well, St. Louis was the big town for me when I was a kid. I don't think it's that way necessarily anymore, but it was always the city on the hill. We aspired to belong to it if it were possible.
Well, it was a bigger town then, I'm sure, than it is now. We've lost some population, as I said in the introduction. We'll be talking about hopes to increase that, but let's talk about Ed Asner. You know, as someone who has been in the news business for a very long time, I have to say that Lou Grant is probably the only news director who ever made me laugh. Thank you for that.
Well, I think that you just didn't get around enough.
Oh, I got around plenty. And not all of them had the character and qualities. It was a wonderful program, and I think of it often and watch it whenever I can. Let's talk about FDR. Are you spending a lot of time on the road with this show or just doing it sporadically? How is that working?
I have in the past. I haven't so far this year. The gigs seem to be winding down. But I just have to go out there and be even more brilliant to attract more honey, more flies to the honey. It's been about between 4 and 5 years we've been doing this. So it's bound to be slowing up, of course, but it's amazing the places that do pick me. St. Louis was kind of foisted on it because I'm doing it as a charity to benefit the Jewish theater there. But other places, I'm scheduled for 4 or 5 performances in Laguna in November, Englewood, New Jersey. It's a very eclectic bunch.
Well, what do we learn about FDR in your one-man show?
Well, I don't think, I mean, if you know anything at all about him, I don't think you're going to be surprised by it. There is certainly admission within the show of his affair with Lucy Mercer and the fact that it endangered the family and his marriage. The combat... His adoration of Louis Howe as his advisor, who was followed by Harry Hopkins, who almost filled those shoes. I think you'll find the people surrounding him to be as much, if not more, interesting than Roosevelt. And he had a lot of brilliant people there to make him look as good as he did. And thank God for that.
How do you pull that off in a solo show?
Well, you embody the person in your mind while you're talking to them at a particular space or place on the stage, in the area, in a seat, standing, and you vent and. You become a believer. I do a lot of voiceover work. Mm-hmm. I'm not strange to the idea of envisioning somebody there who isn't.
It has to be exhausting. I would think so. I'm making an assumption there, but I would think that would be exhausting for you.
You work out well. Your diaphragm gets a very good pump. And in the middle of Up, for instance, my last big voiceover, around the sixth recording session, came in and I tripped over a slight rise. I went crashing against the corner of a wall, which was encased in steel, split my head open, and had to go to the hospital, and got about six staples in my head. Came back, and I did the day's work. It's all part of the job. And I'm sure the work was probably better than the other stuff I was doing.
Well, the show must go on. I guess that still lives.
Yeah.
In doing FDR, and I know you skip around to various episodes, including packing of the Supreme Court, for instance. Do you find many parallels with the kinds of things that he was dealing with, some of the things that are going on in Washington today?
Well, I find my heroes aren't measuring up to what my heroes of that time were. Nobody comes close to Roosevelt. I will be the first to say he was devious. He was a chameleon. He was a fooler. But he at least marched forward, and he accepted defeat and went on to fight other battles, as the Supreme Court was a good example. I don't find any of the Democrats that have come down since Roosevelt. Truman was a fighter, certainly. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that Bryan Cranston now of Breaking Bad fame is doing LBJ. And, you know, it occurs to me that LBJ might fit that mold in the minds of a lot of people.
And he would and could if it weren't for Vietnam. And he allowed himself to be backed into a corner to the point where he did not run for re-election due to his failure in Vietnam and the fact that he did not have the guts to tell the country we're getting out and to get out. And since that time, I mean, you notice how we pushed a foot on Afghanistan, how we delayed Afghanistan, how we delayed cleaning up Guantanamo, how the Iraq carnival and its horror and the mistakes made there. But those weren't Democrats. That was a Republican mistake. No, that was a Republican commission, I would say. None have followed as Truman. The buck stops here was the last time I think that happened, and that was Truman.
Yeah. Well, we're going through a situation right now, and I'm sure you're paying close attention to it with regard to the Ukraine. And we seem to be hobbled by the fact that there's not an awful lot we can apparently do to change the course of that situation.
Well, let's put it this way. I think we got to go back to World War II, where we were the arsenal of democracy. And while we were supplying all the guns and equipment and so forth and so on, Russia was putting down on the counter 30 million lives destroyed. Can you imagine what 30 million lives in this country would have done to our hopes and our dreams? So we supplied the hardware, they supplied the blood. And since that time, because they were allies at the time, I mean, you look at the map of Russia, for God's sake, and I'm sorry, I myself cannot blame or attack or even think about going to war with Putin over whatever he may do in the Ukraine, because I have always envisioned the Ukraine was a part of Russia. My father came from Lithuania, and my mother came from the Ukraine. But what did they speak at home? They spoke Russian. So how am I not to have mixed feelings about what is going on over there and our inability to really know what the best solution could be? I can't tell you, but I don't jump on the war wagon over this particular incident.
Well, that's the last thing we need is more boots on the ground someplace with people people firing at each other.
Well, I there's a T-shirt I want to get. The little girl had it. I want one. I'm opposed to the next war.
Yeah, we need a lot of those T-shirts.
Yeah.
Let's go back to other things. We could talk for a long time on these subjects, but I want to go back to the actor Ed Asner. I'm sure you get this. I'm sure you get this question everywhere you go, and that is the idea of shaking the Lou Grant image. I mean, when people go to see you in FDR, a lot of them are going to be seeing Lou Grant up there. How do you deal with that?
Well, now wait a minute. You know, after Lou Grant, I did Rich Man, Poor Man, where I played Axel Jordache in a tank top, and was slugging away at a heavy bag with my two sons in the background. Then I did Captain Davies with a crappy beard
and
a crappy wig, bringing blacks to the United States. So how long do you have to fight that battle?
Well, that's my question, because it seems I know you've done wonderful things since then. But, you did Lou Grant for a long time with Mary Tyler Moore and then with your own series.
Yeah.
And a lot of people see Ed Asner as Lou Grant.
Well, that's not a bad thing to be seen as.
No, I'm not saying that's the case.
Yeah. Well, while they're seeing me in that mode, that guise, as long as they listen to the words of Roosevelt and watch the combats, they can call him Lou Grant if they want to, as long as they understand the truth that come out of the battles.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
When you look at what's going on today in your business, and I'm thinking of I'm thinking of what's happening especially with Netflix these days, where Netflix is producing its own programming.
Yeah.
Just curious, and successfully so far. I'm just wondering how you as an actor look at that and whether that's a good thing, a bad thing, how you view it.
My friend, I don't even do a computer. I'm kind of embarrassed to say that. I leave that to others. I write in longhand, and if somebody wants to type it up for me, that's fine. But the chaos that is part of showbiz right now. It is not the halcyon days of yore when I started out in this business. And I can remember the first time I came to California in 61, and I went to lunch at MGM, and my God, it looked like the city on the hill. Everything was white. The streets were broad. It was ideal, and it's a far cry from Netflix as we know it today.
Well, you were president of the Screen Actors Guild, a couple of terms, I believe.
Yeah.
When you look back at that time and what was going on, how have things changed?
Well, the unions have merged against my wishes.
After in Screen Actors Guild.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you're after.
Yeah, well, used to be. This is public radio.
Yeah. Oh, well. Thank God for you, no matter what you say. The unions have worked, as I said, against my wishes. And I'm just struck by the chaos and the lack of idealization that one has in the business. It's like scrambling like mice on the ground for bits of cheese. That seems to be what is dominant in our business right now, our art business. And it's not pleasant. And if Netflix creates more jobs, fine. But are we any smarter? Are we any more entertained? Any more entertained than when I came to town in 61? I don't think so.
What about the actors themselves and directors themselves? Do you think that they are better today or as good as back in the day? I'm just curious as to your take on that. A lot of them seem to be more interested in self-promotion, if you will, and acting kind of crazy and weird in order to keep their names out there.
Yeah, the Kardashian effect.
That's a good name for it.
I don't think they're any better. I think they're good actors there, certainly. But they certainly don't have the opportunities to perfect their art like they did in the days of the studio system. I mean, my God, they would get an actor and they would grind out film after film after film while he was learning his art. And by God, by the time he finished, he had learned a few things. And it was pleasant to watch the growth. I started out being awestruck by Spencer Tracy and thought I was modeling my persona after him. And then after a long time, I got bored with that, and I began to concentrate on Frederick March and realized what a brilliant actor he was in his own way. One was a drunk and the other was a woman chaser. still worthwhile watching. I chose to chase women rather than become a drunkard. I gave up on the drink a long time ago.
Well, it was a good choice.
Yeah,
it was a good choice. I think a lot of people would certainly endorse that. You've been involved, and it's been indicated so far in our discussion, in a lot of causes. What about the actors involved in causes? Some people think it's a good idea because of their high visibility, and others think that they should just stay out of it. What do you think?
Well, traditionally, it was always that way, that an actor stayed separate from the field of combat in terms of causes. That, of course, has changed in recent years. And what's fascinating now is that actors generally were identified as being liberals and with being identified with progressive causes. Well, now there's a big Republican movement going on with actors and conservatives, and they're banding together and becoming identified, which they never really did before. Gary Sinise, I think, is instrumental or at the core of this, and they've attracted quite a few to their flag, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the sides constantly are being drawn and demonstrated, and whether we will, take up knives and cudgels, I can't guarantee that. No, I couldn't move around fast enough to wield it.
We only have a couple of minutes left, and I have a caller here.
You want to fight? Huh? All right.
Not hardly. I would like to bring Randy into the conversation from Jennings in this part of the world, and he wants to say hi to Ed Asner. Go ahead, Randy.
Hi. Thank you very much for taking my call. I just wanted to say thank you so much for having the courage and bravery to admit your skepticism regarding many things that a lot of us take for granted. But I remember for many years, you were one of the very few people I could point to as a secular person and say, hey, there's someone else that's a secular person. You know, it was just forbidden to talk about your religious thinking for many years. And, and I just, you really gave me a lot of courage in my life, and I just wanted to say thank you.
Well, what a very, you know, what a surprise conversation to have, and I'm delighted to hear it, and I thank you for those words.
Randy, we thank you for the call. You know, we have a number of emails here, too, Ed Asner, from people, all of whom admire you and what you've done. Jeff, for instance, is saying, I recall the admiration many of us felt for Ed Asner's courageous stance against U.S. complicity with atrocities in Central America, which appeared to be the reason for his show's cancellation. We're talking now about the spinoff Lou Grant program, which ended very, very suddenly. What can you tell us about that?
Well, nobody's going to admit to it, but popular what was his name? Who owned CBS at the time? I can't remember his name now. I blotted it out.
I think it was Paley and those
Paley,
people.
Paley. William Paley.
Yeah.
Was pretty tiffed at me for becoming identified, and Charlton Heston led the charge against me in certain other areas at the same time. So there was a groundswell, and CBS played it like the corporate behemoth they were at the time and still are, and played it very cool, and finally edged the show out of off the air. That did happen, and I had no idea what I was doing at the time. I was so naive, but I'm proud that I can show that scar.
Well, you followed in the footsteps of the Smothers Brothers, and I guess it was Paley that did them in 15 or so years earlier.
Right, right. No, it wasn't that much earlier. No.
It was, well, it was the late 60s or early 70s, wasn't it? Whatever.
No, it was the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yes. Oh, absolutely it was. I thought your series was canceled. Somehow I have the year 82 in mind.
Yeah, it was 82.
Yeah.
But that was the Vietnam War was only 10 years earlier.
Yeah, that's right. I think of it pretty much as a creature of the 60s, but it went on well into the 70s, obviously.
You're thinking of Tet, which was 68.
That's right.
That was the beginning of the end.
Right. 68. Yeah. We could talk a lot about everything that happened in 68, one heck of a year. Ed, our time is up. I want to thank you so much for being with us, and I'll remind folks that you'll be in town soon with the one-man show FDR. That's going to be happening on April 27th at 7 p.m. at the Edison Theater at Washington University. Thanks again. That's a benefit for the New Jewish Theater, by the way. Ed Asner, continued success for you, and thank you so much for being with us.
I hope to meet you, pal.
I'd love to. I'd love to. Let's try to make that happen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ed Asner. Coming up, what would St. Louis be like if it were a city of 500,000 or more? That's coming up next. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.